AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Just a beauty of a cover with the Yankees getting it done. Getting Higgy with it with the home run in the 8 to tie the game at 4. And then they get another run. Bader drove it in and a single to left when they had runners at 2nd and 3rd. They ended up winning 5-4. Loaiziga came in and got the save. Chapman got the win. Loaiziga was in trouble. They stole 2nd with one out. And then the guy flew out to right, Simeon. He was 0-4, 0-5 on the flyout. But how about your boy out there, Gonzalez, catches the guy at 2nd, napping. He went running to 3rd to score the tying run and got doubled up at 2nd. That was the 2nd base-running blunder of the game, one for each team. The Yankees, in the first inning, allowed the guy to have a bloop single to right, and a guy scored, Garcia, from 1st on a bloop single. It was un-effing believable. And then in the 9th, the Rangers, even worse, getting a game-tying run doubled up off 2nd to end the game. And I covered the bet with the Yankees. Now the question is to you, Carver. It looks like it's Cole against Colby Allard, whoever the F that is. And are you kidding me that he can't beat that kid in game 2 and sweep that doubleheader today?
You never know with Cole. That's for sure. He's got, and some of the guys in the Rangers have really good numbers against him. When I was doing the stuff for the home run props this morning, Simeon's got like 3 or 4 homers off of Cole. There's a bunch of guys in the lineup who have hit him very well. So I'd be leery tonight, especially since
don't go near it. I've already got one today. Just stay away from it.
I would stay away from me. I mean, they could blow him out. Who knows? Judge is going to play again. Boone says he's running Judge out there until he hits number 62. So, you know, at least Judge will be in there for you. Maybe he can hit this kid that's starting for the Rangers and get something going. Also, Mets top 3rd at Citi Field, game 1, the doubleheader there. They have a 2-0 lead on the Nationals. Brandon Nimmo, a 2-run double to get the Mets on the board as they are still clinging to life in the NL East with the
Braves. I just couldn't bet on them today.
Night.
I don't trust the Mets.
Yeah. I don't.
Every time I lay a run and a half with the Mets, I lose. Every time.
Yeah. I wouldn't want any part of it. They have a 2nd game tonight as well. Taijuan Walker's going to go in that one. All right. Let me give you a couple other things from college football. We talked about the big games for this week. We mentioned that Alabama is facing Texas A&M. Saban yesterday said that Bryce Young, obviously a shoulder injury. It is not long-term. He's listed as day-to-day. Then a reporter decided to push about if Jalen Milroe is going to be the quarterback, what Saban will have in store. Well, you should know, Scotty, never to ask Nick Saban any kind of game plan questions. Here we go.
You've talked about Jalen Milroe's unique skill set. Just given that, is there a thought of maybe putting a package together for him regardless of Bryce's injury status?
We already have one, so.
What?
Do you want us to put a new one together now just because he might play or use the old one? I mean, we can do either one. I mean, I'll go talk to the offensive coaches and see. Again, you know, I don't talk to Jimbo on a regular basis, but I'll call him and tell him right after the conference if you want me to. I mean, you guys think I'm going to tell you what we're going to do with our offense and our team? You might as well make it up. I saw today where there's headlines in the paper that, you know, I'm going to keep it a secret what we're going to do with Bryce. It sounded like me making that statement, but I've never said that. But it was there in black and white. Like, so you can make up whatever you want to make up. You know, look at somebody else's running quarterback and say they should put these plays in. I think that'd be a better way to do it.
So, you know, I've said this a million times. I'm going to say it again until he's dead. Is he uses the media. When he needs the media, he's their best friend. He is the nicest guy in the world to ESPN and everybody else when he needs something, like, you know, votes to get into the college football playoff, or, you know, with a one-loss team, or whenever he wants to be number one and he needs the media, he's the nicest guy in town. When he's on his boat down in Tallahassee on the lake, he invites media guys to come film it. When he's out with the players on the boat, he's the nicest guy in the world, nicest guy ever. But when they have these press conferences, for no reason whatsoever should they have them anymore. They shouldn't even have them, because they're so contentious. They are so angry. They are so much a waste of effing time, because he never says anything, and he blames the media for everything. All he does is argue and fight with the media. I mean, this is the true blue guy. He's not the nice guy that he plays when he needs something. He's the nicest. He's like a politician. He's a politician. When he needs something, he's your best friend. But the rest of the time, he's a complete asshat. And inject a real swear word in there when I say that, because I'm on TV. I can't say that I think he's an ass, because that's what he is. Nick Saban is an ass. That's what he is. He's a true blue ass. That's what he is. That's who he is. He's not the nice guy. He's a phony prick. You hear me? Loud and clear, he is the biggest prick in sports. Dealing with him is like having hemorrhoids. I'm sick and tired of him. I pray to God that they lose national championship games. By the way, we welcome our radio affiliates to the program.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, Carver, hi. One thing, today I was getting a clean cut. You can tell I got it all clean today, as I got it all cleaned up. I got it tied up there and cleaned up a little bit. And then my guy, Mike, said to me, he goes, Pharrell, what's that thing you're playing with? I said, I'm glad you asked, Mike. I said, this is the BetMGM app. I'm actually placing bets right now while you're cutting my hair. He said, what do you mean you're placing bets? I said, I'll tell you what, Mike, just get the BetMGM app and I'm going to get you a risk-free bet of up to $1,000. All you have to do is use the bonus code Coast to Coast. And then he said, that's fantastic, Pharrell. That'll be $25. That's what he said to me. I said, wait a minute, you get a risk-free bet? He goes, yeah, but you got to pay me for the haircut. Have a nice day. And I was like, all right, there you go. See ya. And then when I left, I saw him on his phone, like hitting the thing. I knew what he was up to. He was betting on the Yankees today in game one of the doubleheader, and the Mets, game one of the doubleheader, minus a run and a half. $1,000, 500 each.
Pool and the haircut today. You are feeling better. You got them both done today. So that's
I feel a little better today. I feel better.
Hitting both spots. Before we get to all of the baseball, last night, the important stuff, and all of tonight's games, NBA preseason games have started, Scotty. Can you believe this? I mean, this is it. We're on the hardwood. Yeah. Regular season, we're in October, a couple weeks away. And the big story last night in the NBA was finally the Nets got to see all of their players on the court at the same time. Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and Ben Simmons, Scotty, played 19 minutes, made his debut for the Nets. They did lose to the Sixers, 127-108. Let's hear from Ben. Made some mistakes in his first game. That's what the preseason's all about. Was excited to be out there.
There's been a lot of focus on the new offense that you guys are installing. Just what was it like? It looked like you were orchestrating at times. What was it like getting people involved?
It was fun messing up, because I know how good we can be. And seeing just different looks and opportunities there, just working with Kevin and Kai and Joe, seeing where they want the ball and just how things are going to work and flow. You know, but the only way you learn is making mistakes. So I had a few out there tonight that I can go back and watch film and say, you know, I know what I did wrong and how to fix that. So it's all learning. It's all a learning process for me, so it's good.
Let me just say a couple things, Mike. First of all, I thought he played great. Okay, for 19 minutes of burn, like, you know, I was playing like 15 minutes, and 5 minute burns are all I can give you at my age, right? And I go hard, and I can produce, I can score, I can block shots, rebound, do whatever. But this guy went out for 19 minutes and did a little bit of everything. And yep. he was finding guys. He was cutting through the paint and finishing. He can finger roll. He can dunk. He can kiss off the glass as good as any guard in the NBA. He's 6'10". He is as long as an airplane wing. He is the top, in my view, perimeter defender in the NBA. He is the best defender at the top of the key in the NBA. They will never have another perimeter defensive problem at the top of the perimeter in Brooklyn again at all, as long as that guy's on the floor. His job is to go north and south and to lob dunk to others. He's got Durant, Claxton. It could go on and on. He can find Harris in the corner. He can find Kyrie to do whatever he wants. He can find KD to shoot or mid-range or finish. And Claxton's a dunker and a finisher. He's long and lean and young. His job is not to pull up and shoot threes. Nash said it the other day. Why do we want this guy shooting threes when he sucks at it? Why even do it? Why shoot mid-range when we know he sucks at shooting mid-range? So my point is this. Why not just be that north-south guy that brings the ball up like he does so eloquently and so brilliantly and so fast and so strong? No one can guard him. He's 6'10". You can't steal the ball from him. He's too long. He can go right through you because he's big and strong. If he just becomes Magic Johnson, and I know that sounds crazy, but when you're 6'10", Magic Johnson was never 6'10". But Magic Johnson went through people like Butter and dropped the ball to everybody to finish. If this guy just goes and becomes that guard that brings the ball up full speed and either lays it up, finger rolls, dunks it, or lays it in, or gives an alley-oop to someone to finish, or finds the shooter in the corner, he can go down, da-da-da-da-da, whap, right into the corner, da-da-da-da-da, whap to the wing. He can be one of the most undeniably unstoppable players in the NBA. I don't care about his mental health issues, which were bogus. I don't care about his bad back, which was a way to get out of Philly. He never had a bad back. I don't believe for 1 minute he was injured. He wanted out of Philly so bad for the way they treated him and the way they said he was afraid to shoot and dunk and afraid to take a three and couldn't shoot free throws. They ruined his mind. He had mental health problems, all right, playing in that town with those vicious fans and vicious media. And now he's here. It's not going to be any easier in New York. They'll blame him for everything. But that guy can flat out play basketball. And they are going to be a sick team with him on that team. Trust me, you. They're winning at least. They are not going 500. They're at least 15 games over 500 this year.
Yeah, look, just play defense, rebound, make passes, finish dunks. That's it. That's all that guy's got to do. Because Durant and Irving are going to provide plenty of scoring. He don't need to provide the scoring. He's got those guys. Durant, I was interested to see him afterwards because we know what happened in the offseason and he wanted to leave. He was as surly as ever last night. I mean, the answers were basically, you know, a couple of words. Yeah, it was good to play basketball. That's going to be interesting with Durant. But if they're winning, nobody will care how Durant feels after the games. Also a good night, Scotty, for Jamal Murray and Kawhi Leonard. They both got on the floor for the first time in a long time, got some burn, looked good. So they'll be back to business, too. We missed them last year.
Listen, I think Kawhi Leonard looked fantastic last night. Pulled up at three, his first shot. The one that really rocks my world is having Murray back in Denver.
Yeah.
They needed that guy so badly because, in my view, the Nuggets don't matter at all without him. When you have the Joker inside and mid-range, low block, and what he can do at the top of the key with a ball and top of the three marker, what he can do outside is lethal. Not only is he a great shooter, but he can pass as good as Arvydas Sabonis did. He's a great passer and facilitator. And now you've got this exceptional shooting guard who can do everything with the ball. And to not have him for a year, they were naked without him. Having him back in Denver, get ready, the Nuggets are going to be really good again.
The NBA GMs every year do that dopey preseason survey. They all selected Luka Doncic to be the MVP this year, Paolo Banchero to be the Rookie of the Year, and Eric Spoelstra as the best coach, who in my opinion is the best coach.
And the Bucks to win it all.
And the Bucks to win it all, of course. The Bucks, of course, are in Abu Dhabi, Scotty, to start their year. Pharrell Adabi is where the Bucks are going to be playing some preseason games. Baseball, let's start now. We'll do the rest after the break. Phillies punched their ticket in Houston against the Astros. 3-0 last night. Great pitching from Aaron Nola. The offense, Scotty, Kyle Schwarber. A couple of Schwarbombs. Here's the second one, NBC Sports Philadelphia.
And a towering fly ball deep to right field. Over toward the pole. It is gone! Second deck moonshot for Kyle Schwarber. He's homered for a second time tonight. 46 on the year. It's 3-0 Phillies.
I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how they do in the playoffs because they've got the goods. They got the bats. They got Harper. They got Schwarbaum. They got more than that with the sticks. And they've got some relatively decent pitching. If Nola pitches the way he did last night in Houston, he can be undeniably brilliant. He didn't give the Astros one run.
I would actually, if it ends up being Phillies Cardinals, Scotty, I got to see what the numbers are going to be for that series this weekend in the wild card. I think I'm going to play the Phillies. I think I'm going to have a little fun and play the Phillies this weekend to win that series, to advance past the Cardinals. I know it's tough in St. Louis, the whole deal. Games will be there. They got some good bats, the Phillies.
I like that. The Cardinals are a better baseball team than the Phillies.
They are. They are. But 2 out of 3, anything can happen. First playoff berth since 2011 for Philadelphia. Back in the
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Cover high, your boy Aaron Boone's got my Pharrella cold. I see his nose running like the River Kwai right now, and he's coughing and sneezing on his press conference after the game. He's got black rings around his eyes. He hasn't shaved in 3 days, and he looks like he needs to hit the pillow worse than me. I think he got my cold just from me being in the same room with him.
Probably. He does not look very good right now. He could use the 5 days off that the Yankees are going to have starting on Thursday, probably as much as some of the players. Last night, Brewers beat the Diamondbacks in 10 innings. Didn't matter. They're out because the Phillies won. Marlins beat the Braves 4-0 behind Jesus Luzardo. So the Braves, magic number, still one in the NL East. They'll have Odorizzi tonight. We'll talk about that in a moment. Yankees did beat the Rangers last night. I only bring that up because Stanton rang the bell for us at plus 350 with a homer.
Yes,
Blue Jays beat the Orioles 5-1. Vladdy Jr. Rang the bell at a hefty plus 650. Also locked down home field for this weekend. So whoever the Blue Jays play, those games will be in Toronto at the Rogers Center.
Right?
Yes. Stanton and Vladdy both rang the bell with the home runs last night. So we had two homers. Good night for us. That's for sure. We also had Red Sox beat the Rays, so it's looking more and more like the Rays are going to play Cleveland. Pirates beat the Cardinals again. Pujols hit 703, passed Babe Ruth for second all-time in RBIs. Before we get to tonight, let's say goodbye to Tony. We played him a lot the last 2 years on Coast to Coast. It's more than fitting we send him out with his final goodbye press conference. Here's Tony La Russa.
The timing of this announcement enables the front office to include filling the manager position with their offseason priorities. Now I want to talk a little bit about this season. Our team's record this season is the final reality. It's always about what your record is. And people will look at it, say, well, you know, you did this, that was good, or, you know, you should have done it. We are our record. And it's an unacceptable disappointment. There are some pluses, no doubt, but too many minuses. And these are lessons that I was taught early on that have saved me over the years. In the major leagues, you either do or you don't. explanations come across as excuses.
Jeez.
Respect and trust demand accountability. And I've lived faithfully with that during my managerial career.
Listen, Tony La Russa does not hang his hat on 2022, believe me, you.
No.
This is one of the greatest managers that has ever been in baseball, and he's got plenty to show for it and Hall of Fame, and that's just all there is to it. He's one of the coolest guys I ever met in my life, and they don't make him like Tony La Russa anymore. It was too easy to make fun of him in his old age this year in Chicago, and that's what he got. He got a lot of people saying he was falling asleep and he's just an old geezer and all this other nonsense. He deserved a better fate from people because there's no one really in Chicago that can hold his onions. No one. Not Joe Maddon. No one that has been there. Name one guy in Chicago that's ever been better than Tony La Russa. There are no one that, literally on that list.
Nope. Not at all. Happy trails to Tony. Won't be in the dugout anymore. Feel better, too. We know he's been dealing with some health stuff. All right, let's get to tonight. The penultimate day of the regular season in Major League Baseball. Tomorrow, Scotty, everybody plays at 4 p.m. Eastern. While we're on coast to coast, we'll have to get you the plays in the first hour tomorrow during the show. But let's get through tonight first. Strikeouts. You think I'm sending our boy Ice Cold Brubaker home without playing him one more time, Scotty? He's been too good for us. Over 3.5 against the Cardinals tonight. He's over that number in 6 of his last 7. Odorizzi for the Braves. Gotta shut down the Marlins and win the division, right? Over 2.5 now. He's over that in 4 of his last 6. Verlander, why are we going with him? Because the Phillies all got bombed last night after they clinched a playoff spot. Let's take Verlander over 6.5. And we're going to wipe away the bottom one, Scotty. Why? Carlos Rodon is no longer starting for the Giants tonight because his agent, Scott Boras, doesn't want him pitching because he's going to opt out of his contract and doesn't want him to get hurt. No Rodon for the Giants tonight against San Diego. How about that?
Meanwhile, I bet on him. Plus +122 at Petco. So
undecided.
I mean, what's the deal there with my bet?
Well, that you will have to check your tickets for the pitching change when you made it. You will have to go and see what the situation is going to be with that. Head back to the window.
Mother Vareller, God almighty. Let's... Scott effing Boras getting involved. How does that guy have any say about who pitches on a Tuesday night in the last day of the season? I cannot even fathom that I just heard you say that to me.
I can't fathom it either. Home runs for tonight. Tater time. We hit 2 last night. Let's try again. I'm going to also go with the Brave angle. Got to come up big. Got to finish off this division. Austin Riley's beat up the Marlins all year. Let's do it again. Plus 400. He's your big bat. Goldschmidt beats up Ice Cold Brew. 5-for-18, 2 home runs off of him. He is in the lineup tonight for the Cards. Plus 625. Brandon Drury I had because he destroys Rodon. Rodon ain't pitching anymore, so be careful with Drury. And CJ Krohn tonight, who's been good to us this year, he beats up Urias. 7-for-23, 2 homers off him at plus 475.
Yeah, I'm done with the Dodgers in Tuesday, Wednesday because they're throwing games now in L.A. Yes. Like nobody's business. Like last night they were sleepwalking. It was like they were on morphine.
Yes. I agree. Don't go near the Dodgers the next couple of nights. And I'll give you a little bonus ball with the homers. Simeon, I haven't seen a Ranger lineup for tonight against Cole. Simeon destroys Garrett Cole. So if you get a good number on Marcus Simeon, by all means, throw him in against Cole too. All right, let's go. Tonight, Royals are in Cleveland again against the Guardians. Lynch and our pal Cal Quantrill is the pitching matchup. We will start there, of course. Guardians minus -190, Scotty.
Quantrill has never lost a game at Progressive Field in 43 games,
wow.
33 starts. He's 8-0 this year, 5-0 lifetime against the Royals. Who do you think I'm betting on?
I think I know who you're betting on. My pal Cal in that spot. The Pirates and ice cold JT Brubaker against Dakota Hudson and the Cardinals tonight. minus 115 for St. Louis, minus 105 for the Buccos.
I gave you the Pirates last night with Helen Keller to win, and tonight I'm going back to the Cardinals because the Pirates can't win two in a row in the last 30 years.
All right, Braves with another shot to wrap up the NL East. They have Jake Odorizzi. The Marlins will have Garrett going for them. Braves minus 160 now here.
There is no way I am not going back to the well with the Braves. They should have clinched last night with a win against Miami, and they lost 4-0. It's flat out embarrassing. And I am not betting against the Braves tonight again. I am not taking the Marlins. I'm taking the Braves, and they need to win the game and clinch the East.
They certainly do. The Cubs and the Reds tonight, Sessa and Assad, they're playing out the string, as we know, Scotty. Tough to go anywhere near this. Minus 115 for the Reds, minus 105 for the Cubbies.
I'll pass. I want nothing to do with these bums.
I would pass as well. Toronto and Baltimore again at Camden Yards tonight. The Blue Jays now have wrapped everything up. They are minus 105. The Orioles are actually favored tonight, Scotty, minus 125.
The problem is the Jays have won 4 in a row, and the Orioles have lost 7 of 10. I'm on the Jays.
On the Jays. Also tonight, Yankees and the Rangers, game 2 of the doubleheader in Arlington. Gerrit Cole, Ace Ventura, going for the Yanks tonight. Yankees right now, Scotty, let's see if they've put it up. Minus 200 against, and Tinoco's going for the Rangers.
Okay, well, you know, I thought before it was, you know, that all day they have never announced. We thought it was this Allard kid. It's not. Colby Allard, whatever his name is. Here's the deal. I'm still on the Yankees. It'll be their 100th win.
Springs and Eovaldi at Fenway. Rays minus 120 on the road. Red Sox plus 100 with Eovaldi.
I think Eovaldi's shot. I'm on the Rays.
Diamondbacks have Zach Gallen tonight against Lauer as they look. He looks to finish off what has been an excellent year for him. Diamondbacks are favored, minus 120.
I mean, come on now. You talk about put a fork in them. The Brewers are done, and they are finished, and it is glad bag city time. And Zach Gallen has been utterly dominant for 3 months. And if he doesn't go in there and beat them tonight in Milwaukee, then the game is fixed.
The Astros have Verlander tonight. The Phillies got drunk on the field. You saw them celebrating. Ranger danger Suarez goes for them. The Astros are minus 225.
Suarez has pitched great since June 29th. I'll give you that. But if Verlander wants to seal the deal on the Cy Young and to stop this bleeding, he's lost two in a row. He needs to go out tonight and win this game. They got hammered drunk all night. They never went to bed. And Verlander's going to be throwing heat all night. The Astros have to win this game.
I'm going to go only one more I'm going to give you before the break. Doubleheader tonight for the Mariners. Detroit has been great. What is it now? 8-9, 9-10, somewhere
nine
in that
10.
Area. 9-10. Two games tonight with the Mariners in Seattle. Flexen's going the first one for the M's.
Well, they're going to win one of them. So I'm going to say the first one.
There you go. First one for the Mariners tonight with Flexen on the mound.
Double no, I'm taking the Tigers in the first one.
Oh, taking the Tigers.
They're 10th and 11, and then the Mariners will win the game.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
One of our favorites is always Scoop Mish. Craig Mish in Fantasy Sports Today and Newswire Live. It got so popular, that show, they changed the name of it already. What happened there? Was that like a stealing second base? Was that a double shift? What happened right there?
This is all news to me. I know you broke that news last week. I still have yet to see any difference on my paycheck, Scott. So it must be the same show.
Moving on, we'll discuss the Yankees today with Fat Jameson Shots of Tyone. When the game started, they said he'd face 700 batters and walked 30 this year. And then he walked a couple guys today, and he loaded up the bases a couple times. He gave up 4 earned runs. Cone was talking about his curveball wasn't biting. His slider wasn't sliding. he didn't have anything going. And it was the wildest game. They were up 1-0. Then it was down 2-1, tied 2-2, up 3-2, down 4-3, tied 4-4 on the Higgy home run to dead center. And then they win it on the Bader single to left, bringing the run in to make it 5-4. And Chapman and Loaisiga closed the door with Wishart helping out, whatever. That was a wild game. And they have no reason to even have to win, but they did. And it's all about Judge hitting a home run. But yep. I bet on the Yankees today, and I got to tell you, I may have internal bleeding watching that game. It drove me nuts. Against a 60-something win team, they're awful. But you were right. You were on here 2 weeks ago, and you said, watch what happens in September when all these absolute shack teams beat all these great teams going down the stretch because they just don't give a rat's ass.
Every year. And that's the difference is that I think maybe the best players in the history of the game come up in the biggest spots in terms of pressure. But a good comment, and I'll say goodbye to Don Mattingly today, okay, because Donnie's last game managing is actually today. He's going to let a player manage tomorrow. But Mattingly, every year, the last 7 years, it basically wouldn't matter which of his players did really well. He would say the same thing. It's like, if you believe in September, it can make you a fool sometimes. And that's just the truth. That is really the truth. September baseball is difficult to bet on. It's difficult to understand. And it comes with so little pressure for teams that are so far out of it. And I like the way Detroit is headed. I think they made a good move in hiring their new general manager. But Scott, how is it possible that Detroit has won 9 out of 10 in September? I mean, come on. Like, I mean, you got to think it was one of the worst teams in baseball for 3 months. So I'm not surprised at all. And September's a month where you pivot over to football and just enjoy. Now the postseason's coming and that'll be a different story. But yeah, also one note from that Yankees game today, Scott, that may have saved Chapman's spot on the roster, that performance today. Crazy to think that they may have left him off the postseason roster, but that may have earned a spot.
You're right. I said earlier to Carver High, I said, they have to keep him now on the roster because Shinboy went out yesterday, Marijanovich, he's done 15-day, and they got to because their bullpen is so shredded. I don't even know if they have anyone that can pitch. And then, I was watching Loaisiga in there today, scaring the hell out of me. He couldn't throw strikes. He's 3-0 counts. The guy lines out to right, and they double up the runner at second. I almost fell over. Now, back to the Marlins for a second. You've got to be effing kidding me that I sat there last night and lost that Braves bet. And I got to tell you, Sam Hill made me so mad. I bet on him again tonight, and I swear to God, if they don't win that game and clinch the East, I'm going to lose my effing temper. I am done watching the Marlins beat the Brewers 3 out of 4 and then the beaten Braves. I'm done with it.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. Again, you know, the Marlins are in that same spot where they have six guys that, you know, weren't starting for the team most of the year. But, I don't know, Scott. I mean, for me, maybe I just was looking at it differently last night. I was at the game last night, but I was looking at that one differently. I thought Miami had a better chance in the first one than the three because, I mean, the Braves got to Miami at 5 o'clock in the morning on Monday, and they had to turn around and play the earliest game basically on the slate at 6:40 Eastern. So the Braves looked completely lifeless yesterday. Has Austin Riley struck out 4 times in one game all season? He did yesterday. You would have to think that the Braves will win one of the next two. And by the way, Max Fried, Brian Snitker said, could pitch tomorrow if it does come down to it. But, I mean, in the end, I expect the Mets to lose one game too, probably. I don't know that it'll come down to that.
All right, so let's get this straight. Who's playing who, like, on Friday? Do you know any of this off the top of your head, basically?
Not really.
Does any of it make sense to you?
No, it's still very much up in the air. The one thing I think, if I'm not mistaken, is the American League wild cards are pretty stable at this point. It looks like Toronto is playing Seattle and Cleveland is playing Tampa Bay. I think that's
okay.
That's looking like a strong possibility. But the others are still, I mean, we don't know.
It should be that the Mets are not going to get a bye. They're going to have to more than likely play the Padres, correct?
Padres. Right. Looks like that. Yes.
And then the Phillies would play the Cardinals.
Correct. But there definitely could be a swap with St. Louis. There definitely could be a swap in the National League, depending on how this goes. Not done deal.
So the Dodgers and Braves, if the Braves win tonight, the Dodgers and Braves get the bye.
Correct.
Okay, so let's just hypothetically for a second here, Scoop. If the Mets play the Padres, they'll play the three games at Citi Field. All of the teams with the better record will get the three games in the wild card round. Is that correct? I think it is. So,
is that right? Okay, I thought the third game was the other place, but you may be right about that.
No, I think all three are at the team with a better record. So, at least that's what I'm under the impression it's all three. Which makes no sense to me. I would have gone 1-1-1. What's the problem?
Yeah, they're not going to do that. But I wasn't sure if it was 2-1 or. But they wouldn't.
No, it's. I think it's all three. So okay. That's a major disadvantage to me for San Diego flying to New York to face Scherzer, DeGrom, Diaz, etc. Is that not a problem?
Yeah, no. I think the Mets will get through that. I do. I think the other part of this is that what's been exposed is how important Marte is to the Mets. I mean, no one's even like really focused on that. They're just focused on them collapsing. But it's not a coincidence that since Marte has gone down, they haven't looked the same. And their pitching was good enough. Their pitching wasn't Bumgarner in the postseason enough. That's true. And it wasn't like, Verlander in the World Series. That's true. Or Charlie Morton. But, you know, Scherzer and DeGrom weren't great. But if the Mets scored six runs in one of those games, they would have won. But Marte is a huge part of what they do. And I don't think they're going very far without him. Can they beat San Diego? Yeah, I mean, let's be honest. Scott San Diego is another one of those, I'm not going to call them a choking team. That's not fair. But they're another one of those teams that if they lost right away, you wouldn't be shocked. Like, they have a tendency to fall apart at times. They did it last year. They did it when they got Soto this year, too. So I'm
they
confident.
Always do it.
I'm confident
they always do it.
Getting past the first round. But after that, no.
Listen, the Padres have been in the World Series twice. They blew both of those, and they last year they blew it. Now they're in it again, and they've been losing down the stretch. They won last night. Musgrove finally stopped the bleeding. They had lost 4 of 6. So earlier, Carver High took the Phillies over the Cardinals. Those three games would be at Busch. I think the Cardinals are a better team. I don't disrespect the Phillies, but I think the Cardinals are a better team.
That's going three games. That will go the distance, that series. Phillies, Scott, are not going to go three games without scoring like a 12-run spot in one of those games. Like, I don't know if they're going to do it all three, but the Phillies are going to enter the postseason with maybe the most formidable offense in the National League. I mean, they can also go real cold. But Real Muto and Harper and Schwarber and Hoskins, a very deep team. That all of a sudden you look and you're down like 4-0.
You're right.
And they do have Nolan Wheeler. So, like, hey, like, Cardinals are always good in the postseason. And even when they're underdogs in series, they usually end up coming out on top. But I don't think the Phillies are just, like, going down quick. I think that's going to be a competitive. So if it's that series, competitive.
You guys might be right. I'm not challenging any of those opinions. All right. So the Cleveland Indians. And this guy, Quantrill, he's never lost in that ballpark. He pitches again tonight. He's 8-0 this year there. 33 starts there. Never lost a game. That's insanity. I mean, if I had a guy that never lost a game in a ballpark, I'd sign him to a 10-year deal. Here's another one. He's 5-0 against the Royals. He has been great there. But they don't have a better record than the Rays, do they? Are the three games going to be in Cleveland, or are they going to be in Tampa?
Cleveland. They're in Cleveland, yes. No, Tampa Bay, first of all, Cleveland's a division winner, Scott.
You're so right, Cleveland. And the other one's a wild card. So I like their advantage at home with this guy Quantrill pitching in a big third game if they have to.
I know, but these games are going to be 2-1, and that's what the Rays are asking you for in these series. So I'll take Tampa Bay, whoever they play in the first round.
All right, and then the Toronto-Seattle, is that going to end up being magnificent? Those games will be in Toronto because they were the highest wild card.
In Toronto, but I would take Seattle also in a three-game series most likely. Seattle's pitching has a chance to take them further, I think, than the first round.
But they haven't been pitching well lately. They've been losing.
Not lately, but.
Yeah, but don't you want to be playing good baseball? Don't you want to be playing good baseball going in?
But look, I still like who they have. And do you have to be pitching the best to face the Yankees in the second round? No. I mean, the Yankees have had, I don't even know if they play the Yankees, honestly, and if they get out of that first round series.
So let me ask you this question. We have been arguing here on this show frequently, and you'll be the final judge. Speaking of All Rise, you're the judge here. This guy, Ace Ventura Cole, who's pitching tonight in the second game of the doubleheader, they'll start him in game one of the ALDS, as sure as we're sitting here. But wouldn't you start Severino and Nasty Nestor over this guy who gives up 3 home runs every time he pitches? He never wins in the playoffs. All he does is get lit up. Meanwhile, this guy Severino's almost unhittable, and Cortez strikes out 10, 12 guys a game. Why not start him in the third game and let these other two guys be nasty? They're going to have to use a fourth guy, so they'll use Fatso Tyone, and he's usually on. Today he was terrible. He couldn't throw strikes. Nothing was biting. Why do they start this guy Cole? He gives up so many effing home runs every time he pitches.
Didn't he have a good postseason with Houston when he was with them?
I'm talking about when he's with the Yankees. He's been ass butter.
He hasn't been as good with the Yankees. That's true. Look, I would say that the point is well taken, but you know, Boone is going to probably be a guy that rewards his top guy. I mean, I guess that's the best answer. I can't really give you a great answer. You probably should go with Severino, though.
And then
the best of them.
Are the Astros? Verlander's pitching tonight. He has not been good lately.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess we'll have to see. Again, it's September. It's really hard to put any stock into teams that clinched 2 weeks ago. Like, you know, I don't know, Scott, that it really means all that much. I guess we're going to find out next weekend. But I think these wild card series are going to break all kinds of TV ratings. You have a lot of great, compelling matchups and a lot of fun. So looking forward to it.
All right, Scoop. We'll talk to you throughout the playoffs, buddy. Thanks.
All right. Have a great one.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, for all the finish time, Carver High, one other mention, the cruise missile's birthday today, 24. Same as the young chopper's birthday today, 15. I have a hot date with her tonight. Girl dad and daughter date at the fancy steakhouse. Time for another tomahawk, Carver High. I got to sink my teeth into tonight. Matt Barzal, an 8-year deal with the Isles, 9-plus millones. Sends goalie Cam Talbot out 5 to 7 weeks. He's injured. Let's just say blew out his hamstring and broke his ankle. Just tell you, it was a lower body, so it's probably that. You know what I mean. Figueiredo, Moreno, 4 booked for UFC 283 in Brazil. At UFC 300, they'll fight for the 14th time. Police investigating a fight at a youth football game involving LeGarrette Blount starting to take swinging hands at people's heads at the youth football game. Pop Warner. Sean Avery threatening neighbors and teens in a parking dispute again. He's had a parking dispute in New York City, and now he's had one in the Hollywood Hills getting after it. Told the guy, "You're too small to hurt me. I'll let you have the first punch." I love that. Antonio Brown exposes himself to hotel guests at a swimming pool in a leaked video. Your boy Antonio throwing his package in some chick's face at the hotel pool. Just not going over well. Country singer Loretta Lynn is gone at 90. She passes away. Northern California man suspected of living with dead roommate for 4 years and forging his checks. That sounds like my boy Dahmer living with heads and organs, eating hearts and drinking blood. Your boy Dahmer, that's the man right there. Over 120 dead after an Indonesian soccer match riot. How'd you like to be stomped to death at a soccer game, Carver High, over there at your favorite team over there? What are they? Huddersfield. Season over for California high school football players whose players acted out a slave auction. What is happening in America? the high school football team decided they were going to have a slave auction. What a grim thought. Go to BrawlOnTheBench.com for all my in-game action tonight. There's a lot of it. GTD is next. We'll see you tomorrow.